from bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Ollie Barrett. Another wet and miserable day here in Salford in Greater Manchester. It is the 12th of June 2019. Wednesday's Richie Allen Show. I am Richie Allen. Thanks for joining me. It's going to be a good programme. Looking forward to it. Let's do it.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
And I'm delighted to welcome back to the program the man behind the Pure Energy Healing Academy, the international healer Mark Bajerski, great friend of ours going back several years, and it's been ages since Mark was on the program. He joins me even live from the Costa del Sol, live in around about 25, 30 minutes time. And it's an extended conversation, and we've got a lot of really interesting things to talk about. Mark Bajerski is the guest today, and I know you're excited about that. Tweet the program, it's at Richie Allen Show, and if there's something you'd like to put to Mark, you can do it through Twitter. Tell me, and I'll ask him as we go along. So Mark Bajerski this hour, and indeed until the end of the programme. All right. Yes. Oh, it's been a mad old day. Mad old day. But I've got the logistical problem regarding the internet sorted, and I'm going with a new provider, and they're going to put their equipment in the studio on Saturday, and it's going to make things so much easier, and there won't be any streaming issues thereafter. So there you go. So got that dealt with today. I've got this list, you know. Got this list. And ticking stuff off it. And every time I tick something off, it's like there's another five things up here at the bottom of the list. It's madness. Very cold in Salford today. Where is the summer? So cold in Salford today, I saw hitchhikers holding up pictures of thumbs. And I think I saw chickens running into KFC and jumping straight into the ovens. It's cold. It's unseasonably cold. Ironically, as they tell us that, well, we're warming the planet to the point of extinction. More on that, and Caroline Lucas from the Green Party, soon. But before that, there is a bit of breaking news. Remember we talked about the Jeremy Corbyn motion, the Labour amendment? Well, not an amendment. They tabled a motion to try and block the new leader of the Conservative Party from leaving with no deal on October 31st. Well, the House of Commons has just voted on Labour's motion, which, if again, if it had passed, would have prevented the next Prime Minister, which we'll know very soon, from leaving the European Union with no deal. Here's the announcement of the result only a couple of minutes ago. Order! Order!
The ayes to the right, 298. The noes to the left, 309.
You won't be cheering in September.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Corbyn shouting, "You won't be cheering in September." Yeah.
The ayes to the right, 298. The noes to the left, 309. So the noes have it. The noes have it.
The noes. Unlock. The noes have it. The noes have it. Right. The noes have it. Sorry about that there. That interruption. Right. So if it had passed today, it would have meant that the opponents of a no-deal Brexit could have stopped it. Well, would have had a very good chance of stopping it before October 31st. Sam Coates is a Sky News reporter. What did he make of it?
Ultimately, the government have triumphed. They will be delighted. Inside Number 10, inside the Whip's office, they hate the idea that opposition forces of any configuration can steal away government time from the Commons and run the Commons and Commons business themselves. They will be very pleased that this attempt, this putsch as it was, this last-minute attempt by Jeremy Corbyn, announced only yesterday, has failed. It shows that still, despite being in something of a zombie government, because Theresa May is leaving office and the contenders are only this week setting out their plans to take over from her, this government, with the narrowest of majorities, can still command a majority in the House of Commons. And ultimately, it does just preserve a little bit of flexibility for those 10 contenders in the Tory leadership race to set out what they want to do with Brexit and be able to argue that they might just be able to get it through, because the forces lined up against a no-deal Brexit aren't quite more than the numbers who will defend the government line as they did just then. It's not the end of the line. There will be other attempts to stop no deal. Perhaps people didn't feel the pressure to vote today on what is would be an extremely dramatic attempt to that would diminish dramatically the authority of the government. But in the end, a loss is a loss, and both sides will know that.
Yes, Sam Coates there on Sky. So Corbyn's motion failed. But don't get too excited, Brexiteers. We're not leaving. Now, politicians might just be the dumbest group of professionals in the UK. I bet you if their IQs were added up and divided by 650 or whatever the hell it is to get the average would be lower than Forrest Gump. I do really believe that. Don't believe me, though. Listen to Esther McVeigh, former Work and Pensions Secretary, Scouser, former TV presenter. She was on LBC Radio with Ian Dale earlier on. And Esther was complaining about the waste of money that the foreign aid budget is. High stupidity here.
No, some of that money is not spent as there is a rush at the end of the year to spend it. We know places have their own, whether it's space programmes, we know airports have been built and actually the runways are in the wrong direction because of the winds. What we are saying is there are vulnerable...
There are vulnerable people
so back at home. It's in one of the continents abroad. We know we've got that airport where we can't take off and land because of the winds, the crosswinds there.
What? What was that, love?
It's in one of the continents.
What kind of fuckery are you?
Where's that airport where they built the runway in the wrong direction so that planes can't take off and land? It's in one of the continents. It's in one of the continents over there. That one you can see there. Apparently, McVeigh is so stupid, she was in the green room at LBC before the interview and was caught staring into her glass of orange juice without blinking because it said concentrate. Now, Boris Johnson launched his leadership campaign today. He wants to be the next leader of the Conservative Party, meaning that if he wins, he'll be the next Prime Minister. And he said he's not aiming for a no-deal outcome for Brexit. At the launch of the campaign, he said, I'm not aiming for a no-deal outcome. But he said leaving no deal on the table was vital and the UK must do better than the current withdrawal agreement. Delay means defeat. Delay means Corbyn, said Johnson. We must leave on October 31st on Halloween. What else did Boris Johnson say this afternoon?
So now is the time to unite this country and unite this society, and we cannot begin that task until we have delivered on the primary request of the people, the big thing that they asked us to do. After 3 years and two missed deadlines, we must leave the EU on October the 31st.
Yeah.
And we must do better than the current withdrawal agreement that has been rejected three times by Parliament. And let me clear that I am not aiming for a no-deal outcome. I don't think that we will end up with any such thing. But it is only responsible to prepare vigorously and seriously for no-deal. Indeed, it is astonishing that anyone could suggest dispensing with that vital tool of negotiation.
And our political editor, Beth Rigby, was at Mr Johnson's campaign launch and asked him to address some of his previous controversial comments, including comparing Muslim women to letterboxes.
You hear the disapproving sigh there from Kay. Spoke about this yesterday. Got to signal to the herd that it is wrong to make a joke about the burqa or the niqab. Got a signal. You know, you'd have been warned about that years ago. Your producer and your programme manager would have told you to stop it. Do not editorialise. Not for you to judge whether Johnson's comments about letterboxes are okay or not okay or bad or good. But, you know, the long observed rules of broadcasting and objectivity, well, they disappeared some years ago. Anyway, Bojo, what about the letterboxes quip?
Occasionally some plaster comes off the ceiling as a result of a phrase I may have used, or indeed as a result of the way that phrase has been wrenched out of context and interpreted by those who wish, for reasons of their own, to caricature my views.
What was that about the roof?
Occasionally some plaster comes off the ceiling as a result of a phrase I may have used, or indeed as a result of the way that phrase has been wrenched out of context and interpreted by those who wish, for reasons of their own, to caricature my views.
Right, so he said he's a straight talker.
But I think it is vital that we as politicians remember that one of the reasons why the public feels alienated now from us all as a breed politician is because too often they feel we are muffling and veiling our language, if I might put it that way. Not speaking as we find, covering everything up in bureaucratic platitudes, when what they want to hear is what we genuinely think. And if sometimes in the course of trying to get across what I genuinely think, I use phrases and language that have caused offence. Of course, I'm sorry for the offence that I have caused, but I will continue to speak as directly as I can, because that is what I think the British public wants to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a straight talker. I don't think Johnson is worried about the female Muslim vote among the Tory membership. I don't think he's going to be brought down in the contest by members of the Conservative Party who happen to be female Muslims. Here's a very big story. The time is exactly 15 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show. I am live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. Triggerwarning.tv. My website, of course, richieallen.co.uk. And tune in radio. Big story. Greenhouse gas emissions in the UK will be cut to almost zero by 2050 under the terms of a new government plan to tackle climate change. Theresa May said reducing pollution would also benefit public health and cut NHS costs. So the BBC reports that Britain is the first major nation to propose the target, and it's been widely praised by green groups. Green groups love it. Green groups. Just to reiterate, the UK will enshrine in law that greenhouse gas emissions will be cut to almost zero by 2050, right? Some people are saying, a real Fox News turn of phrase, some people say, according to the BBC, that it's too late to protect the climate. Some people say we're dead anyway. So I don't know why we just don't have a party and forget about it and just be blissfully unaware and wait for the big tidal wave to wash us off the planet. Some say it's too late, but others say to cut emissions to zero by 2050 is impossible. Green Party woman Caroline Lucas was on Radio 4 this morning and was pressed on this monumental bollocks by stalwart John Humphrey. Are you happy, Caroline Lucas, says John, with this news? Caroline seemed wound up by something.
I'm certainly pleased at the headline. I think the devil is in the detail, and there are some real concerns. For example, the Committee on Climate Change recommended that the government should make this effort entirely domestically. In other words, these emissions need to come down in the UK.
What else could it do?
Well, What they could do and what the government has said it would prefer to do, and so it's not going to follow the advice, is essentially to pay for what's called international credits, international offsets. It essentially means that you pay poorer countries to plant lots of trees, let's say, to save us reducing our emissions.
And we will not do that.
No, we will do that. That is unfortunately what the government has said it will do against the advice of the Committee on Climate Change.
Ah, I see what you mean. Right, right.
So that's the first thing that they're doing, which is unfortunate to say the least. Secondly, they've also built into this a five-year assessment moment. So rather than giving business the real confidence that business needs in order to be able to go forward and invest in the green economy, they're saying that after 5 years, they're going to see whether anyone else is following us.
Anyone else, as in the world, do you
mean? Exactly, whether other countries are doing the same thing. And you know what? If the government wants to claim that it's showing climate leadership, that isn't about dithering at the door, constantly looking over your shoulder as to whether or not anyone else is following you. It's actually setting a trajectory, giving business the confidence it needs, and demonstrating that there's a real commitment to this way forward.
On the other hand, you can sort of see the point in a way, because after all, we make up only 1% of global emissions, etc. If nobody else is doing anything effectively, what's the point in us doing it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Nobody else is doing anything, and that's because there is, I think, a general understanding that this is bollocks. So nobody else is doing anything. Why should we do it? Well, Caroline?
Well, there are 2 points. We make up more than 1%, certainly if you
Well, that's the figure.
No, you don't. Exactly, Humphrey. Don't let her tell lies or porcupines.
That's quoted.
Well, that's because it only looks at the figure for our production emissions. If you calculated the emissions associated with all of the imports that we now bring in from countries like China, because we've outsourced so much of our manufacturing.
Yeah, but if you're importing stuff from China, are you counting that as double?
Manufacturing to other.
Like, are you counting it as part of China's carbon creation and then ours, even though we're using one ship to transport that stuff? You see what I'm getting at there? This is wholesale and whole-scale bollocks, right?
Countries, arguably that should be on our balance sheet, not their balance sheet. We're the ones benefiting from that. If you look at that figure, it's not quite so rosy. But secondly, it's interesting, I think.
This woman is insane.
I think the business itself is saying, for heaven's sake, give us the certainty, give us the clarity, and we'd be very happy to do this. They say themselves that there is a huge amount of first mover advantage in terms of competitiveness if business is given that certainty to move forward. So you've got business wanting this to happen, you've got all of the green groups, and I would argue much of the public wanting this to happen.
Oh, much of the public wanted to happen, eh?
And I think it's a real shame that the government hasn't had the courage of its convictions.
You say the public wants it to happen. Are you sure about that? Will we be happy when we're told we can't have gas cookers and we mustn't go on holiday to Barcelona or whatever it happens to be?
Very good and very important interjection by John Humphrey. This is really important, and this is where they have to admit that it is pretty shit scary. Because they'll restrict your travel, your diet, your right to drive, and when and where you can take a poo. They're going to ration toilet paper. They're going to change the bin collection times to once every 2 months. So you're left swimming in shitty nappies, used sanitary towels, and a mountain of aluminium foil. Because they won't ever collect it and those bins to force you to comply. It's happening already in areas around the country. Some parts of the country, including here in Salford, they will not collect your non-recyclable waste more than once every 3 weeks. Here in Salford, it is once every 3 weeks they collect your non-recyclable waste. This is where it's going. Can't travel, can't fly, can't eat this, can't eat that. Smart fridges will spy on you and tell them what it is that you are doing. Then you will be demerited on the social credit system. This isn't crazy conspiracy lunacy, it is a fact. So John Humphrey says, will the public support it? Because really, you want to make life, well, you want to transform and make things transformative in a very negative way for ordinary people. Lucas's response.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to be stopping you going on holiday.
Well, you know what I mean.
What a liar. I don't think anyone's going to be stopping you going on holiday, she said. This lying cretin who stood alongside Greta Thunberg and proposed the very same, that we can't keep using airplanes. How else are you going to get to Barcelona? We can't use cruise ships. Massive amount of pollution and carbon creation. She's lying. I wish the BBC wasn't the BBC and Humphrey had more time with her to totally take her to the cleaners.
That we are going to be asked, told maybe, to change our way of life.
Yes.
And the great thing about that is...
There's nothing fucking great at all about it.
Is that it's about a higher quality of life, and I think there is...
What? A higher quality of life when you're told what you can eat, where you can go, where you can't go, what you can't drive, what you can say. Oh, you didn't think of that one, did you? What you can say, because when they propose cutting emissions by 2050, they have got to reinforce, rubber stamp and drill down into the nation's psyche. They've got to drill it down into your fucking brain, into your subconscious, that this is necessary. One of the ways that they will do that is they will maybe not criminalise climate change denial, but they'll come very close to it. Madness, this is. And Humphrey is doing his best.
Every evidence that people would love to see a government really taking action to clean up our air, to clean up our oceans, to sort out the plastic in our seas. You know, you don't need to look far to see the...
She's a fishwife, isn't she?
...to see the huge public appetite for that now. And so I think that this is a real potential win-win if only the government would really grasp this agenda and not just legislate for something, frankly, that is so far ahead, 2050, that the people legislating for it...
Every film you ever saw... Blade Runner, all of them, every film made in the 1980s that looked into the 2020s and 2030s always projected that particular period in the future as being an awful time for human beings. Do you think they knew something? I've been thinking today of all the films I saw in the 80s, all the sci-fi, and they never predicted. Maybe it was predictive programming. Maybe they were programming us to accept that this was going to happen. Maybe. Maybe there's something in that. It's going to be horrendous. My friend Jean-Anne Crowley saying they'll make flying very expensive. They will. And the public, she says, will swallow this and they'll love this because it's good for them. And it's good for the planet. And we will sell this agenda through the innocents. We will sell it through children because children don't know any better. We will co-opt children to sell this crap, this fucking lunacy to people. Because you can't argue with a child, can you? You know, when a child comes to you and says, it's my future you're ruining. Please stop driving. Please stop going on holidays. Please don't eat red meat, whatever you do. And please stop driving. Let's just put cars on the road that are electric and that are autonomous. Because it's good for the planet. This is how they're doing it. And it scares me to death, really. I'm 44 years old now, in 2019. I'm going to be, maybe, I'm very tall, and tall guys tend to have a shorter lifespan. But I'm going to be around to see this lunacy. If people don't put a stop to it and stand up to it. Caroline the lunatic Lucas, anything else there?
Will be certainly retired, if not actually no longer with us, but, at the time when they actually get...
But you do accept that seeing that there is a problem and being prepared to make an individual sacrifice, they're two different things.
I want to challenge you on your framing of this.
You don't like the word sacrifice.
I don't like the word sacrifice because I don't think it's right. What is sacrificing about having much cheaper public transport? What's sacrificing about having...
Of course, public transport won't be cheap, you daft bint. You cloth-eared bint. When it is the only thing available and it's not run by the state, it ain't going to be cheap.
Having every single home in Britain properly insulated so thousands of people aren't dying from fuel poverty in the 21st century.
We'll leave her there, will we? This is the Richie Allen Show, live for Wednesday, the 12th of June, 2019. I can't wait to chat with Mark Bojerski. It's been too long and he's standing by on the Costa del Sol near San Pedro, my old stomping ground. Spent many a lovely evening there when we lived in Spain. In fact, we lived in San Pedro for a short period of time and I sometimes miss it. I miss it today when you've got weather like we've had in Greater Manchester. Don't forget, Mark loves hearing from you. So tweet to me, it's at Richie Allen Show, if there's something you'd like me to put to him. 26 and a half minutes past the hour. Little bit of a taste of France. Here's Zaz and Je Veux on the Richie Allen Show. Welcome to the programme. Right, music from Zaz on the Richie Allen Show. It's on Call to View. It's coming up for 5:30. I shouldn't say 5:30. Who knows when you'll hear the programme. It's archived on Spotify, iTunes, and of course, Podomatic.com. Before I welcome back to the programme my great friend and an inspirational man, let me mention something that he did, not for the first time in the last couple of days. He mentioned to his legions of followers and friends around the world that he was, that he had a beautiful solid gold Moldavite pendant worth about £1,000, €1,100. And he said that anybody who donates to the Richie Allen Show in the coming days will go into a draw, and I'll make the draw and let Mark know, and he'll send them on the pendant. He's done this many times. He's been a great supporter of alternative media and the independent media, not just this programme, but everywhere else. He's got a massive heart, and that's a very important word, I think, when it comes to describing him, because he's affectionately known as the healer of hearts to those that he's helped and worked with and touched along the way. He's the man behind the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He's an energy healer, an international healer, and he's in Spain. We love having him on the programme. Let's welcome back to the show Mark Bajerski. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Oh, filled with joy. Filled with joy. How are you? Can you hear me loud and clear?
It's like you're in the next room. That's how wonderful it is, these communication tools that we have these days. You could be next door to me, my friend. It's an honour to have you back on. It's been too long, and it's not because you've not been welcome back. You've been travelling around the world, and the work you do with people, of course, is far more important than speaking on radio programmes. But no, it's great to have you back, and thanks for that wonderful gesture, by the way, the other day. It really means a lot to me.
Oh, Richard, it's part of the journey that I've been on as a child growing up. I never truly understood non-affection and gifting people who didn't gift. I always struggled with that, just like I always struggled with seeing people who hurt each other. I always struggled with any kind of suffering in any way, because I'm very emotional, and I noticed around me, you know, from growing up, the pain and suffering that we give each other, that we do to each other. And that was, like most people who are empaths, what we call ourselves empaths, but we're just basically, we feel more things, we are more aware, we become more, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but it can be really hard, Richard, because we, you know, people want to start a path of spirituality and they think, you know what, it sounds great, but when you become aware of all what's around you and what's happening at any given moment, it's a challenge, Richard, it really is. But, you know, part of the journey is feeling good when we gift, being kind to our brothers and sisters, not having separate thoughts and feelings that we can then say you are you and I am I, you know, in the sense that religion separates us, politics separates us. I just feel that that's what holds the world back, and it breaks my heart to see people fighting over one thing or another, and then the whole real purpose of life gets pushed under the carpet, and then all of a sudden the darkness wins. And my life and journey is about trying to shine the light on the important things. And I noticed something the other day, Richie, which was really fascinating. I was sat down with a group of guys in my village in Mijas Pueblo, and they were all different backgrounds, religious beliefs, from different parts of the world. And we were all chatting, really having a really good chat. And what we were talking about was everyday life, the challenges that we go through, how we have to find money to pay for our mortgage, and, you know, all the things that you and I do from day to day. But then soon as religion got mentioned, then everybody started to separate in their own way of thinking. And it got me thinking that, you know, it's amazing when we label ourselves and put ourselves into certain boxes, like I believe in this, you know, I vote for that. We are pulled apart by what I believe is the darkness. Some people may call it pride, ego, but, you know, we tend to forget who we truly are and that we're all the same as each other. But yet this labeling and this separation pulls us all apart. And it's a very clever manipulation to keep us from not joining hands and saying and looking at the real matter at hand of what's happening now with 5G and everything in this world that's wrong. And it's a very clever thing. So, yeah, the darkness will keep separating us. Does that make any sense?
It makes loads of sense. And I'm going to ask you about Moldavite in a second. I also want to ask you about that struggle that we all have, every man, woman and child, this question of why, in the name of whether it's Allah or Jehovah or God, why are we here? I want to touch on that. I know it's too big a question, but I also want to touch on something you mentioned a minute ago. I don't like the term wake up or woken up. I don't know, it doesn't cover it for me. What I think is happening on a day-to-day basis, more often now maybe than previously, a little bit of information, maybe on the news or something, will make people think again about what's happening in the world and why. And that becomes a difficult place for people. I think you and I talked about this before, and you just kind of briefly touched on it a minute ago. And that's where I think people like you are very important, because when somebody realises, hang on a second, most of what I've been told is untrue, things are very much different than, you know, politically and domestically, much more different than I ever imagined. It's a horrible thing for a lot of people to have to come to terms with. And I know you deal with a lot of that, don't you?
In your work. It's part of the job, Richard. It's part of, I think, you know, it's something that I feel really passionate about now. And it's taken a few years to get there. So my journey began with trying to understand the world of spirituality. And I don't like to use that word where people think it's a pink fluffy cloud, which, you know, it is in one sense if you turn a blind eye, but it's also, you know, when you said awaken, I've got another reawake, because I think we're already awake as souls from the spirit, and we know deep down we have the power to understand the truth if we're able to see it. But most of us walk blind because we're being duped every day by social conditioning, by fear. So I think deep down, when I help somebody clear all of that fear and all of the blocks and emotional stuff that's been bombarded into our mind from a child, when you're able to help somebody clear that away and they come to their inner peace, they actually feel clear of all pain, suffering and pressure, then there is what's called a channel. And that channel is like a radio station. You start to hear things more clearly. And the truth is, nothing really matters, but if we believe it matters. So if you believe that, you know, the government is doing wrong, then that's your belief system. But actually, if you help somebody and take them away from that and say, you know what, if you let that go, just let all your worries and fear about government go and ask yourself about yourself. Ask yourself, why are you here? What's your purpose? When you're able to direct people back to themselves, they then awaken a spark of light. And that is really important. And that's the work I do. Because once you find your inner truth, your inner spark of light, all directions then don't go outside of the world. It stays inside, and your focus then is on yourself. Once you then start to shine this light or reawake this flame, what happens then is the outside world doesn't seem so challenging, because your full focus is on yourself, whether that's health, eating correctly, saying no to all of the stuff out there that's trying to pull you into the darkness. And all of a sudden, you start to lose the energy of darkness around you. And then your mind starts then thinking more positive. You feel more positive. Stress then disappears. And before you know it, you shine a light so bright. And then you ever wondered what you got upset for?
Yeah, I remember speaking to you about this when we met in Manchester briefly a few years ago. Things start happening in your life, very positive things that are surprising to you and maybe to the closest people to you. You start to attract good things. And we're not talking about material success here, but we're talking about friendships and happiness. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. It's complete. It's nothing to do with the abundance of wealth.
Yeah.
Because There is no such thing really as being happy because you've got tons of money. It's everybody knows that now. You can buy as many handbags as you want, but from tomorrow, that handbag that you've got around your shoulder, you're thinking, okay, I need another one now, because a lot of the times that handbag is to show off and show people how rich you are, and it's all a false illusion. When you realize that you don't need a single penny in your pocket and you're happy, and you know, that's when real truth and happiness is within. And you know, you'll probably turn around and say, but you need money for your mortgage. And of course you do. That's not literally what I'm saying. I'm just saying that when you don't put focus and emphasis on being a millionaire or wealthy, you find that the right sort of thoughts and feelings come to you, which are important, which I tell you, it's always directed back to you. And my whole understanding of going around being a businessman, working every single day of my life, trying to pay the bills and keep the wolves from the door, then I realized that struggle keeps you in that struggle. And when you're able to step out of that struggle and say, actually, this actually isn't a struggle, and then your whole life changes, everything that you see changes. And then, like me now, I wake up every morning happy. I'm literally happy every morning.
That's lovely. It's a lovely way to be. I can't say I'm happy every morning, but I think most mornings I wake up with a pretty positive outlook, and I say to myself that whatever I do today, I'm going to try and do some good, and I'm not going to imposition anybody, and I'm going to be nice to whomever I meet. Now, this is really intriguing stuff. By the way, Mark's website is markbajerski.com, and Bajerski is B-A-J-E-R-S-K-I. I know you know this, but I'm just reminding you, it's markbajerski.com. The wonderful pendant that you generously have, that you're generously giving to people who donate to this program. It's made from something called Moldavite, and it's not an earthly thing. This is fascinating. What is it? Where does it come from?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, Rich. And I'm writing a book. I've been writing it now for many years, and it's going to be called The Power of Moldavite. We're very close to publishing, but the problem with publishing a book that this crystal changes in many different ways, and what I'm learning from this crystal, from my clients and from wearing it and picking different types of Moldavites up every week, I'm realizing that I think it's a never-ending book, because the crystal itself is so unique and fascinating. So apparently, I'm not really into the science of it, but they say around 15 million years ago, this crystal fell from the sky because it's a meteorite. But like many meteorites, which end up being a kind of glass, because when they come down to the earth, they kind of fire themselves into a glass. This particular one, for some strange reason, has a very unique energy. And I don't really want to go into the detail of where I believe it comes from, because I want to save that for the book. But suffice to say, when I first had a piece of Moldavite placed in my hands, it was about 2.5 grams. And it was gifted to me by my first mentor. When I touched it, Richard, and I'd handled many crystals before that, but when I touched this crystal, she was fascinated and waiting to see how I reacted. And I can only tell you my reaction, and I was in a mind, body and spirit festival when I was doing a show there, and I actually felt my whole body elevate off the ground.
Wow.
Now, to anybody else, they will have seen me just stood there, but the energy that was in this really ugly crystal, green crystal, because it's not the prettiest crystals, but I went, what the hell is this? This is, and within moments, I started to get palpitations. My heart started to beat really fast, and I actually started to sweat. And I thought, what on earth is this crystal? I couldn't believe it. And she started laughing. And thus my journey began with Moldavite. And from there, I started using it on clients. Now, how I used it was just a natural reaction of to pick a certain crystal up and place it on the client. And I used to place Moldavite mainly on the forehead, which is known as the third eye. And strangely enough, after many years, there was a pattern with Moldavite that I noticed, which was fascinating. And that was laying the Moldavite on the forehead after, say, 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, the client would more often than not fall asleep. But first of all, what would happen when they were asleep was a kind of sequence of events. And the first event was I could feel their heartbeat in my hand when I placed my hand on their chest. It was like a thumping heartbeat, really hard. And then what happened next was a breathing, but not like a normal breathing. It was like they were literally blowing air from the mouth. So it sounded like this. And I found that that has never happened before with any other crystal that I've laid next to a client or on them. And then from there, something very, very bizarre started to happen. Not on all my clients, but a few. They started talking in their sleep. So me being me, and I'm fascinated, almost to a scientific level, I want to know what's going on and what's being said. So I used to often pray that none of my clients would open their eyes while they were asleep, because I was trying to hear what this language was. So I tried to listen to different languages via YouTube. I typed maybe 30 or 40 languages. I spent weeks and weeks trying to understand what this language was, even ancient languages, and there was nothing that came close to this sound, what was coming out of their mouth. And it came to a point where I just kind of gave up, but I thought it was fascinating. When they woke up, they used to talk about many things that they felt, and very, very strange, vivid dreams of things that, let's say, are not just of this world. And maybe, just maybe, they were in contact with something that was not of this world, which I found. This is people who are 6 foot men, who are German, who have big companies, who wouldn't even dream of thinking anything like this. This is people who are spiritual. I was dealing with multi-million billionaires who used to come for me just to clear stress. But now I'm finding there's a pattern. Anyway, a few years later, after working with this amazing crystal, I was at home and I clicked on something, and up popped up Moldavite. And I thought, okay, there's this guy who's talking about Moldavite. And it was like all the pieces came together. He basically said that he had been given a piece of Moldavite, and he was describing the same scenario. And I was screaming in my seat, jumping up and down, saying, it's not only me, I'm not going mad. So then I thought, okay, this is truly amazing. And from there, Richard, things that have happened, this is just the small taste of what happens. Moldavites disappear faster than any other crystal I've ever known. What Moldavite does for people, I mean, like I say, I could write 5 books. The things that I've seen and how lives are changed. But the misconception of Moldavite is that most people believe it's too powerful and that they will not wear it because it's a talisman and it may be dangerous. It may be connecting you to the wrong forces. But I can tell you, Richie, I've worked with it 15 years. It's only ever done the most amazing work and cleansing and clearing of the people that I've known who have gone through the most traumatic stress in their life. So I often say to people, bear with it, work with it, whatever the pain and suffering you're going through. And Richie, it does sometimes cause a lot of emotional and physical issues. But that is the cleansing, that's the purging, that's the clearing, that's the detox of the Moldavite. And we call it the Moldavite flush. And many things happen to you. But it's an incredible crystal from out of this world. And I can't speak highly enough of it, even though it can be the most challenging moments of your life when you wear it.
And it sounds like there's still so much to discover about it. I mean, I'm blown away by the thought of it being on somebody and them going into a peaceful sleep and then breathing in a certain way and then speaking in a language. And it takes me back some years ago, and I'm not trying to be silly now, and you can, if I'm going down the wrong path, be very quick to tell me. But I remember going to a prayer meeting only one time, many, many moons ago, when I was 16 years old. I'd had a very bad pneumonia when I was 15, And I met a man in the hospital who was very much a Christian, and he was a lovely man. And he said, come to a prayer meeting with me, Richie. And I went, and it was full of very positive energy, even though I didn't, you know, kind of get a lot out of what they were saying, but it was very positive. But you know what I'm going to say? One or two people began to speak in tongues.
Yes.
And at first I thought they were speaking gibberish. You know, like sometimes when you roll over because your boyfriend or girlfriend is talking in their sleep and they're making kind of incomprehensible sounds and statements. But no, it wasn't gibberish. It was some sort of language. And I remember, Mark, and I remember saying to the lovely man whose name was Tom afterwards, I said, Tom, what was that language? And he said, we don't know. Maybe some sort of ancient language. Mark, go ahead. Amazing.
It is. And there's lots of work which is called channeling. And channeling is something that we have in this universe, more than one parallel dimension. People are starting to understand that and becoming more aware of it. It means that people's minds are opening up to the possibilities that there's more than just us on this one planet, and there's things happening around us that can't be explained. There's things that happen around us that from day to day we feel different energies, different feelings. Things change around us and within us at any given moment. And I believe that's a universal energy, and we can use that energy, we can channel that energy for the good of mankind. And even now, the likes of Stephen Greer and many other people are realizing that within the air, there is energy that can power the whole of the world. And we have these technologies, we have these understandings, which have been suppressed. But this energy, I'm fascinated with. Now, there was a very clever man who once said that everything is energy and that's all there is to it. And that's true. But it's very challenging for people to understand what energy is if you can't see it. However, if you're in the company of a healer, and there are many healers in the world now doing fantastic work, all you need to do is lay down for 1 hour and let them work with energy. Let them clear the negative energy that you create with the screaming and shouting at your mum and dad, or the pain and suffering that you feel from a family member or your boyfriend and girlfriend, or the rage that you hold within, whether you're feeling jealous or whatever it is, that the negative thoughts and feelings. If you're with a healer who can clear them away, you will understand that energy, when channeled, can heal anybody of anything. We have the tools, we have the technology, we have the understanding of how to heal anything in the world, yet it still isn't freely available because we are deemed evil, we are deemed witches, we are deemed all of the things from a society, from a mindset, from a religion, from a government that is trying to suppress the real and the real truth of healing, and how we can actually all heal within 10 years if we were allowed to freely be able to heal people and share this information. But unfortunately, Richard, we are getting more and more suppressed.
Yeah.
And it's becoming like George Orwell, 1984. Everything, as you can see, they're trying to stop all of us from shining a light. And they once did this many years ago. And the true mystics, the seers, the amazing, what they called witches, which are basically people of Mother Nature, they're ones who are connected to our beautiful Earth, who know and understand it, like the native Americans, you know, that they knew what the world and how it worked, and they could feel it. They could feel the changes in the energy within the whole of each year. Everything changes. Everything changes. And it's beautiful when you're able to connect with that energy like I do and work with every day. And you look out there and you think, you're listening to people, you know, screaming and shouting, drinking coke, you know, and smoking cigarettes, and they're feeling depressed, and they're taking, you know, tablets to try and fix themselves. And I'm like, you know, where as healers, we're there, you know, hoping that one day people will really become more aware of what's important, and rather than turning to a system that we believe that can help us Well, all that does is suppresses all the pain, the suffering and the illness to what really needs to be resolved, which is the root cause of what we're feeling because of our emotions, which then turn into physical issues. So we are awakening, Richie. It's becoming a beautiful world, and there's more and more people understanding this. So it's a beautiful time, Richie. Yeah. Sorry, I might sound a bit negative. But
not at all. You don't. You've never been negative. No, God, no, you've never been negative. MarkBajerski.com. Mark is going to be with me until the end of the programme. Check him out if you haven't before. I endorse nobody on this programme. I never have done. I've only ever reserved it for Mark Bajerski because people who've listened to this programme have gone to the Pure Energy Healing Academy. I didn't know anything about it and then came back to me. They were named, they revealed themselves and waxed lyrical about the changes they made in their lives and the help they received from Mark. You talked about cigarettes and Coca-Cola and alcohol. I wasn't aware until I began speaking with people like you because I didn't consider it. These things have energy of their own. Everything has energy, and that's negative energy interacting with your positive energy, which makes no sense whatsoever. It's like putting, I don't know, it's like putting milk and, I don't know, oil together or oil and water together. It just doesn't work.
Well, Richard, I mean, I'm not an expert at all of this field of work. And I did mention to you once that I ended up luckily being coming across a very beautiful gentleman, not by luck, but by spirit's helping hand. And I told you about him before. The guy's name's Don Tolman.
Yeah.
And I became fascinated in his ancient wisdom, which is going back to the Egyptians, and you know what he talks about, and the fundamental truth about our health is what we eat. And you know what, Richard, anything that is man-made with any chemical at all is not good for you at all. So if we go back to basics, and I said to you, Richard, if you want to feel better in 6 weeks, then eat fruit and vegetables, wash them with a couple of teaspoons of apple cider vinegar for 20 minutes, leave them in that water, and then wash them and then eat those products. And I promise you, within a few weeks, you will feel different, you know. So for me now, my understanding, because I'm growing in understanding of spiritual nature, understanding in Mother Nature and what she offers us and gives us, I've realized that if we keep things simple, then that's the answer. And you know what? You pull something off a tree, you eat it, that's called simple to me. But if you take a product and then start putting E-numbers in, preservatives, you know, refining everything, you are now putting something in your body that your body doesn't recognize. And when your body doesn't recognize that, it now has to try and digest it. It now has to try and clear it out of its system. And it's a challenge for the body to eat that kind of thing. Thus, you now start to go into a body shock. Your body then starts to work 1,000 times harder, which it was never meant to be. It was meant to only eat fruit and vegetables because Mother Nature grows what we need. And when you go down into even more of a fine art, then where you live, Richie, where you're born, that food was designed for you. So we now cross-contaminate things, and we change fruits, we change vegetables, we make them into, you know, the hybrids. So, you know, we have to get back to basics, and we really do. We have to start to think very simple. We need to drink fresh water, uncontaminated. So I'm starting to sound like Don, really, and I'm nothing like that. But what I can tell you is that I changed my life by eating fruit and vegetables, and I'm telling you, that is the medicine for your whole health and well-being. And if you want to live for a long time, then you need to stop eating anything in plastic and stop buying anything which has got preservatives in. And I promise you, your life will change, and you will feel a new energy, and you will become more powerful. And that's when the darkness doesn't like it, because you become a light so bright that then you can change all the world around you. And like I said, there are many millions of people waking up every day to this. Now, I don't want to start sounding like a vegan Nazi, you know, who get angry. That's not what this is about. It's just about changing your diet, live and let live, and just mention to people, you know what? If you eat a few nuts, it'll do your head the world of good. Go nuts, eat some nuts. Little things that, you know, like I said, I wish you could have him on the show, Richard. I swear he would open.
Well, let's organise it. Yeah. I mean, you've obviously learned quite a lot from him. Don't be apologetic for talking about it, because you've learned it from him. It's hugely important. Avoid microwaves, avoid using tin foil, as we would say here, aluminium foil or aluminum foil, they would say in America. Mark Bierski is our guest. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Tell you what we'll do, my friend. Yes. We'll pause for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a little tune, because a couple of bits of music, one to play now and one to play at the end of the programme, that I thought of when I was thinking about you today. So we'll have a 2 minute break and Mark will come back. We're going to talk a little bit about stress. We'll talk, but not in any great depth, we'll talk a little bit about 5G. You can go to Mark's YouTube channel, by the way, Mark Bierski on YouTube. If you put Mark's name in, you'll get straight to his channel, hugely successful channel there on YouTube, and it is packed with videos full of little talks from Mark about these issues and other issues, all free of charge, vital information to help you get through the day and the week, and positive, life-affirming and life-changing information. I love it. So a little bit of Cat Stevens for Mark Bierski. Go to markbierski.com. We'll be back in 2 minutes and I'll read some of your tweets then, and then we'll talk about stress and about other things as well. The great Mark Bierski on The Richie Allen Show for Wednesday, June 12th, 2019. This is beautiful. This back with Mark after Cat Stevens and Peace Train. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Wednesday show, you're very welcome to it. Just after six it is. Yeah, the beautiful Cat Stevens and Peace Train on the Richie Allen Show. It's 3 minutes past the hour. Going live on Fab Radio 2, out on Fab Radio, triggerwarning.tv, my own website, TuneIn Radio, and the programme is archived on Spotify, iTunes and Podomatic. My guest, and he's with me till the end of the programme, is an old friend, Mark Bierski. Amazing guy. The Moldavite Crystal. Moldavite, we talked about earlier on. Mark has said that anybody who donates to the programme in the next few days, we'll say till Friday, we'll say, will be in with a chance of winning a Moldavite crystal, which is embossed in solid gold in a pendant. And its worth even is around €1,100, £1,000. That's a lovely thing. Mark can be found at markbierski.com. He's an international healer and the man. He's an author as well. His books are terrific. His books are roundly and soundly endorsed by my other half, Caroline, who loved reading Mark's book about his life, his beginnings. You can find him at markbierski.com, as I said, and he's the man behind the Pure Energy Healing Academy. Love a bit of Cat Stevens there, Mark. You can't beat it, can you? It's beautiful, isn't it? Music as well. Talk to me about music, especially music that's made with love, that speaks about love and change and peace and happiness. It's got to have some subconscious or subliminal effect on us. It must do.
Well, every single tone that comes out of your mouth, Richard, has energy attached to it. I find it fascinating because music is vibration. And this tone that you give, you can either give love or you can give anger. And it's some people talk about the hurts and all that, and I'm not really into that, but I do know that I have quite a lot of singing bowls here and different types of beautiful sounds that help people, and it vibrates them to a certain level, which is a wave that then crashes through and kills or clears, or what we say, gets rid of blocks within the whole body energy. And now we're starting to realize more and more that the ancient wisdom of singing bowls, which date back to thousands of years, were once used for fruit. So they used to put fruit into the bowl and then play it and play the bowl, and it would vibrate the fruit. Wow. To a certain vibration. Then they would eat the fruit and they would feel that vibration running through their body. So the ancient knowledge has been lost But it's coming back again because that is channeled information that is always given to us and whispered to us. That's why so many of you guys will have an idea or a thought and it'll be a eureka moment. Well, that's what I call channeling. So the sound that you speak, the sound that comes out of your mouth, it can either be love or it can be hate. So everything that you do, all your actions, all your words are extremely important to your well-being. So you can have two choices in life. You can either go around looking at people, being jealous, being angry, being sad, being violent, just being judgmental, opinionated, or you can go around and look for the good in people and say the nicest things and see the positive within everything. And by doing that, you change your whole body. And from doing that, you then live in a peaceful and healthy body, and then you feel stronger and you don't need medication, you don't need cigarettes, you don't need alcohol, you don't need addiction, because you are then balanced. And so it's a beautiful path, and music is extremely important for us all. You know that if you're feeling bad, anybody knows, you put a nice piece of music on and it changes your thought process. It changes your whole being and you become lighter and you feel better. So yes, it's vibration and it's just a different form of vibration. So if you can hit your own body and vibrate at the sound of music, at the sound of love and kindness and all the things that are important, then you're working and you're living in the right energy. And that's why we talk. People say, oh my God, he's talking energy, let's go. But actually, energy is everything. And think of a different word. I've tried, but no, energy is a good word to use, because, you know, solid isn't solid. Nothing is really solid. Everything is energy. I can put my hand over a 5-inch piece of lead and somebody can be under that lead and I can blast energy through that lead into the client. So nothing is actually really there. Everything is energy and you can change anything. So a lot of people, you see, one of the things that I find fascinating when I learn over the years of working with people with bad, heavy, difficult, and really life-changing illnesses is that the ones who survived are the ones who believed that the illness wasn't them. The illness was something that was passing through. So most people believe they are the illness. Well, if you believe you are the illness that you've got, then you've got it and it's not going anywhere.
I've never considered that. That's really interesting now. That's never occurred to me.
But we don't hold on to that. Nothing is ours. We can move and shift and change things in a moment. So when I've got this was fascinating. Only a few months ago, I met a lovely lady called Leila Satie. And she said, why are you saying you've got flu coming? You haven't got flu coming. Don't say that. And then I went, oh, you're right. And then it was gone, Richard. Because as soon as you feel your body getting weak because of the low immune system, you confirm to your body that you're becoming weak. But if you snap out and say, actually, there's nothing wrong with me, I guarantee you, if you say it enough times and you let that feeling go of being poorly, you'll be healthy again. And there is something in it, Richard.
I agree with you. I agree with you, because you're saying, you're saying if you believe it, if you believe that it's not going to affect me and you really believe that, I think you're on the ball there. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Right, Richard, that is the answer to cure. Now, think about this logically. I have met people and I know of people who have had illness and they were going to die. Over the 15 years, I know lots of people who've said they were going to die. And they then did it's like the Camino de Santiago. You go on this spiritual walk and it's not going to the Camino. You're going to Lourdes, or you're going to Fatima, or you're going to, I don't know, whoever, guru or wherever. They go there. They believe that much that the doctors say it's gone. Now, why is that, Richard? Is it because of the guru? Is it because of the Lords? No, it's because you have connected to something within you, and it is a belief system. And it is that belief that once you truly believe in something, doesn't matter what it is, that is going to heal you. And once you really grasp that, then your body heals. But if you take away that and say to yourself, I am going to heal myself, you're going to say, no, I can't do that. So most people will heal when they believe a healer can heal them, when actually the healer only plays a part, a little part. A true healer knows this. They play only a little part to help somebody heal, but the true healer is their belief in themselves. People call it placebo, right?
And they use, they do. They do, yeah.
Use that as a word to laugh at.
Yeah.
But you know what? They've hijacked that word. Placebo is the most powerful healing tool that you have. If you believe in whatever it is that will heal you, you will heal yourself. And that's the truth, Richard. I have studied the art of healing, and I know people, I can feel it instantly when somebody is going to move into the light and when somebody's going to beat it. And the ones who always beat it are the ones who damn right say, I'm going to beat this, which isn't me. And once you do that, you separate yourself from that illness and you can break free from it. So it just passes you by.
We've had a load of tweets. Let me read a few tweets. A couple of special women, special to me and special to you. Jean-Anne Crowley says hello from Cleggan in the west of Ireland. And Patricia Braunschweiler, who went to visit you in Mijas and said that it was a hugely transformative experience for her. Her life has been so much better since then. That's genuine and a ringing endorsement there. I want to say hi to Cry Freedom Radio as well. Check out at Cry Freedom Radio on Twitter, who says, Mark is right, the power of our minds. And this is why people who get told they have cancer do ultimately give up. Cry Freedom Radio is asking about water fasting. We might come back to that there, because there's been plenty of tweets. John Parsons asks, has Mark heard of the Singing Cedars of Russia? I'm a joiner, says John. I know John, by the way. John is not a million miles away from me in Salford. And I wear a piece as a pendant, a piece of the Singing Cedar. I think it makes me calmer, but often I wonder if it's a placebo. But Mark has just answered that with respect to the placebo. Natalie says, mind over matter, 100% Mark is right. David tweets, we are a frequency of energy. We choose how to vibrate. Hubertes says, the first law of thermodynamics, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Susan asks about Reiki. What does Mark think of that? Chris Morell says, nuts, whole hazelnuts. And I think Chris is saying those are good, but then chocolate companies take them and they cover them in chocolate, thereby screwing them up. And Andrew Bell says, sorry for, I've got to read all these out, they'll kill me otherwise. Andrew Bell says, energy healers like Mark sorted my back after years of pain, changed my life forever, says Andrew. Lovely comments coming in there. So I don't know where you want to go. But Susan asked about Reiki, and then Cry Freedom Radio asked about fasting from water, I think.
Well, if you would kindly, I'm only saying this out of the love of my heart and knowing that there are true people in this world who actually speak the truth and practice the truth. So I would say one more time, I am not an expert of that. And I would ask you, please, if you ever get a chance, try to get Don Tolman on, and he is the expert. He's the one who's been talking about this for 50 odd years, and it is fascinating. So I do believe in water fasting 100%, but I am not an expert. So I'd like to go to Reiki, though. That's an interesting subject, if I may.
Of course, yeah. The question from Susan, Reiki, what do you think?
I believe that if your belief in Reiki is powerful, then you are the power. I've often said to people and shared this with people, there is a cross over in the corner of my room, which belonged to my mother, who was a devout Catholic. And I've kept this cross. It's a set of rosary beads, okay? And I bring this cross out and I share it with the people who come here and say, if there was a vampire at the corner of this room now, and you've got this cross in your hand and you're holding it to the vampire, and you can see him cowering, screaming and burning. The reason why that cross is so powerful is not the cross, it's you. It's your belief in the cross. So whatever the image, where whatever the symbolism of a cross or whatever, if you believe in something strong enough, you have the power to protect, to heal, to cleanse, to clear. So when we talk about Reiki and all the other pranic healing, all the other healing techniques, they all come from one place, and it's the place of believing in what you're doing. And the power that we all have as brothers and sisters, mothers, children, I've often said it, Richard, if a child falls, what's the first thing you do? You go and rub their knees and you give them love, you give them healing. It is a natural instinct. And when you start working with energy, you start to see it a little bit. And the more you start to see it and the more you work with it, you start to see when you're sat down, wherever you are, that energy, it kind of goes from one person to another. And then I started realizing, wow, when people say, oh, I'd never go for a healing session with them, they're filled with bad energy. Well, that's not really that's not really how it works. You see, if I'm a healer and I'm 100% strong, fit, happy and well, both mind, body and spirit, and I am vibrating at a high vibration, if some client comes to me and lies down and they're vibrating at, say, a level of 5 and I'm vibrating at 100%, then a natural reaction occurs. And that is that whatever I'm channeling, whatever I feel, whatever my energy is, it's going to instinctively and naturally give that person healing. So when you give somebody a cuddle, if you're feeling strong, you're going to give your energy to the person next to you and you're going to make them feel better. And they'll say, I needed that cuddle.
Yeah.
And however, I've often seen many healers who can't even walk properly because they're ill, because they haven't cleansed themselves. They haven't cleared the negative energy and they're feeling bad. And I look and watch them healing somebody and I can see the person lying down is giving them the energy healing and they're paid for doing the healing.
The opposite, yeah.
So I actually don't believe that anybody who's a healer, they can only do basically two things. They can heal somebody or they don't do anything at all. So the other person will give them healing. So as we go back to Reiki, it's an interesting subject because people talk about the on-off with the hands and the symbolism. All of those things are just guides. They're there to give you confidence to believe in something that you don't know what you're doing. So now you feel comfortable with it and now it works. But actually, guys, you don't need any of those things. You need nothing. What you need to know is that you are the most powerful vessel for the energy that's around you that will pass through you into your client without the thought or feeling or the necessary need to look towards any kind of ways or practices. So the Pure Energy Healing Academy, what we tend to do is when we have Reiki masters, scientists, psychologists, we unlearn them. So then they become a pure vessel without thought at all. Once you clear thought away, you become open because it's the thought of anything that stops this energy from pouring through. So you become an empty vessel to allow the energy to pour through you. And that's the struggle for a lot of people. They believe or they've been taught that they need to learn certain practices. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. This is how you do it or else it doesn't work. When in truth, that's not true at all, Richard. You can heal within a few hours if you're in the right environment and somebody allows you to be who you're meant to be. And we are all healers, Richard.
I remember you saying that to me before, yeah, when we first spoke about every one of us having the innate, maybe forgotten ability to, first of all, heal ourselves and then to heal others around us by very nature of that kind of understanding. I want to just mention the website again, markbayerski.com, and I want to keep an eye on the tweets as well. Chris wanted to know, could you speak a little bit more about the placebo effect, because that's really important, because you will only ever hear about it as an absence of an active ingredient, not a real effect, which is mad. You explain that very well, actually.
He's answered it. That there's your answer. He already knows the answer. The answer is really simple. We use something to ridicule it. We use when something's so powerful and we know it works, we will ridicule it. We will hijack it and we will turn it inside out, back to front and the wrong way around. Everything that is the real truth is the wrong way around, I've noticed, the more I've walked this path. And I just shake my head most days. So the truth is, like I said before, the placebo effect is the most powerful healing that is within us. We heal ourselves when we believe in the healing, not in the sugar pill. In fact, forget that. And you just believe in yourself and your healing, and you will heal yourself. Like I said, you just need to take... It's been hijacked. People want you to believe in something, Richard, because if you believe in it, then it basically diverts away from the real truth, which is you don't need to believe in something. You just need to believe in you and your power. That's the truth. Does that make sense?
Emphatically said that. Emphatically said. We said we talk about stress, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about it, because mentioned to you today, you and I both know some people, and recently they've been badly affected by stress because of their jobs, because of pressures put on them in work, but also pressures put on them maybe domestically, life pressures. And the stress has manifested itself in a physical way. You know, it's brought about a physical change in the person that has been very difficult to deal with. And I know this is something that you're very familiar with, and I'm guessing, Mark, that it's something you encounter quite a lot at the Academy. People who have been worn down by stress, which has then become something physical. It's affected their physical appearance, and it's caused them even more stress as a result of that.
Oh, unfortunately, Richard, I hate to say it, but it's absolutely 100% true. Every single thing you do from day to day, you can create what's called negative energy or emotion, depending on what that emotion is. If somebody shouts at you all day long, if somebody says you're on a deadline, you're on a deadline, you're on a deadline, and that's an interesting word, right? Deadline.
Yeah.
Beep, beep. You think about all of these things all the time. You're worrying, you're worrying, you're worrying. That is an emotion that sits in a certain part of each individual soul, which is different. So like it may sit in my stomach, or it may sit in your heart, or it may sit in somebody's head, depending on what that emotion is to that person. There is a pattern, yes, but not for everybody. So you can't be 100% where this issue will be. There was a guy called Dr. Hammer who used to be able to read people's scans, brain scans. And like the brain and the tree has rings of years. He could tell you when you had a terrific or horrific accident as a child, or an emotional shock. He could tell you exactly when that was. So the body holds a blueprint for memory of emotion. So it can sit there, Richard, and it can manifest, and normally it does. Suppressed energy manifested. It might take 1 week, it could take 50 years. But eventually, if you don't clear that out of your life, it will manifest into a physical issue. And that's what healers try to clear away. That's when many people who come for a healing session get up and say, oh my God, I feel at peace. And do you know how difficult it is, Richard, to feel peace in your life?
Yeah,
it
I
is
do.
The most challenging thing nowadays to have peace. And that's why an energy healer knows how to create that peace from clearing the blocks from the body. So stress is day-to-day life, and we have to overcome that. We've lost the inner child that once used to skip and play in the playground, who was happy, who was free to feel and do, and everything was basically... Everything in life when you're a child is possible, until you start getting older and the system tells you it isn't. When the system tells you that you have to win, you have to get 100% in your school report. And it's a very clever way of making suppressing you and making you feel bad. So we have to bring ourselves back to our child. We have to work on our inner child again. We have to bring that light back to ourselves. We have to learn how to love ourselves. And these are the things that people just laugh at. They just ridicule people like me. But actually, you ridicule it. You look at me, you see the difference between me now and 15 years. Look at my face, look at my actions, listen to how I speak. I am living proof that by going back into your child, by letting things go and forgiving your brother, your father, your sister, forgiving yourself for all those things that you put yourself through, once you let all that go, you then start to heal your inner self. And that's when you start to find the inner happiness. You will always only live in stress if you allow and focus on other people's weaknesses and your own weaknesses from the mind that tells you that you have to think, you have to do this, you have to be this, you have to this, that. And the mind never stops, Richard. The mind is a continual tool that there is never a full stop at the end of. So you have to learn to shut the mind off and say, you know what? Stop. Enough is enough. You are overdoing overtime, and it's not what I asked you to do. And you've heard me say this before, Richard, the mind is an amazing tool for crossing the road, looking left and right. And that's how it should be used. But we use it on an emotional level. We try and figure out why our bosses are the way they are, why our family treat us the way we do, why people react to the way we do. We end up thinking constantly, and that is one of the most dangerous things in the world. And when people come into this academy who are scientists, teachers, philosophers, I've got my work cut out, because all they've ever done is think. And if the only place you come from is a mindset, that is the biggest challenge for me, because that is where most of the issues start, because you're thinking and overthinking, and that leads to negative worry and fear. Because when you think a lot, it's because you can't figure out what's going on. So your brain is trying to say, well, if we keep thinking, we'll eventually come to a reasonable understanding. But sometimes there isn't, because it's not your issue. It's somebody else's issue. So you have to be aware about how much effort and wasted energy you put into certain things that actually are just an illusion and a waste of your time.
Mark Bajerski is our guest. It's markbajerski.com. Look, I used to be the sort of person that would have ridiculed you. I wasn't rude. You know, I wouldn't have been throwing insults at you or trying to marginalise you. I would have never done that, but privately I would have said, you know, this guy is in cloud cuckoo land. But I remember some years ago, thank God I grew up, you know, but I remember some years ago seeing an episode of The Simpsons, and there was a healer came to town. And The Simpsons, of course, is made by Fox, so they're not going to portray healers in a very good light. And I remember the healer said something to Bart Simpson. The healer said, when you're not a human being, you are a human doing. And Lisa Simpson laughed at this and said, oh, this is just an easy answer. But in fact, I found that very profound as a statement. When you're not a human being, you are a human doing. And I found that very profound. It made a lot of sense to me what the character was saying. And I want to ask you this, and I'm putting you on the spot just a little bit. What you're saying about clearing your mind, I think it's very important, and I've tried to practice that as a way of dealing with my sleeplessness and insomnia, and it is working. It's paying some dividends. I've heard you say this before. Is there a simple beginner's little, I don't know, I don't want to say trick, but is there something that you can say to people that can give them a start in helping them clear their mind, emptying their mind out, even when they're going to bed? Is there something you can say that might help them just empty their mind of everything?
Well, first of all, Richie, I wish it was that simple.
You know
the tablet that you give? You know, you either have the red tablet or the blue tablet.
Most
people want a takeout and they want it fast. They want to know the answer. They want three steps and that's it. If not, then they're off and they're looking for it somewhere else. That is the nature of how we have become. We will go into a takeaway and ask how long it's going to take, and they'll say 5 minutes, and then we'll walk out 15 minutes to another place just to get it in 2 minutes. Do you understand that?
I get exactly what the analogy is. You're absolutely right.
So what I'm trying to say is that we're doing is wasting our time looking for a quick fix. There is no such thing, because the body and what's around us at any given moment is a very, very technical and interesting subject. And one of the things that I tackle here at the Academy is energy and negative energy. So if you walk into, let's say, a big shopping center, within 15 minutes, you'll feel heavy and you'll feel crap. You won't feel like, you know, you feel exhausted, because the energy that people are giving off in that shopping center is, well, have I got enough money for my credit card? I need to buy this to keep up with the Joneses. I need to do this. I need to do that. And there's a lot of stress in these places. So you pick up on that on your body energy, because your body is like a radiating energy that feels things. That's why when you walk into a room, you know instantly if it's a room full of nice people or if it's a room full of really nasty people who are angry. You can feel it, because that's called energy. Now, as healers, I have to say to them all, it's important to clear your energy. That's why going for a 40-minute walk a day is vital. That's why sitting in Mother Nature with your shoes and socks off on the ground is vital. These things sound crazy. Hug a tree sounds crazy. But actually, my friend, these are the things that heal you. Walk in Mother Nature. It will heal, not in concrete, in Mother Nature. And cleanse yourself with certain products. So my life has been working daily with energy and clearing negative energy and finding out ways that how the shamans looked after themselves. So I created certain spiritual and healing tools that help, like feathers. If you use a feather around your body, it clears negative energy away. If you use Paolo Santo, it clears negative energy away. Certain oils that you use clear negative energy away. If you clear negative energy from your whole life force, what happens then is your body goes into a very, very light place. It doesn't have to then feel these energies, where your mind then starts to try and work out what's going on with you at that given moment. And it's as easy as having a salt bath. It's easy as there's hundreds of ways to cleanse yourself. Sage is a massive, massive lifesaver for anybody who thinks that they have depression. Anybody who thinks too much, who can't sleep. It sounds bizarre, but Mother Nature has the cure for everything. So you will see me with a bowl with sage in it, and I will sage myself for 10 minutes. And those thoughts and feelings and that energy which creates those thoughts and feelings disappear within the next 10 or 15 minutes. Why is that? Because our mind tries to understand what the energy is around our body. It doesn't see it, but it's feeling energy. And thus you are then thinking of lots of different thoughts and feelings. That's one aspect, Richie. The other aspect is, of course, what I talked about, day-to-day confrontation, day-to-day worry and fear. Yeah. That is too energy, which is all around your life force. So you have to clear that away. So if you go to YouTube, you can see many different ways of doing it. Try which works for you. But the one which worked for me was sage. And if you look at my first video, it was, how do you know that you are living in negative energy? How do you know that your home is filled with negative energy? Well, that's really easy. My first video was, put lemons in the house.
I remember this, yeah.
If you go off, you know that the energy in that house needs clearing and cleansing. You know, Richard, I've often shared this with lots of people. I can clear a house with sage, and the animals that won't come into the house will then start to come in. And there is something that animals know that we don't know. They see and they can feel much more than we can. But that is a testimony that I realized at the very beginning, that once I saged a house, this cat hadn't walked through that door for 6 months. The moment I finished saging, the cat walked in, and remarkable. Everybody said, what the hell's just gone on there? It's never come in. So there is something to Mother Nature. I believe that the answer to our cure is through Mother Nature and non-tampering of the pharmaceutical company that gets their hands on certain natural healing products and changes it for their pattern to make millions.
Mark Bajarski is our guest. Loads of people weighing in on Twitter. Shauna McEvely is listening to the programme in Galway and is delighted to hear you on the programme today. Hi to Shauna there. And also to Jules, who's listening in. How you doing, Jules? Thanks for the nice words about Mark there and him being on the programme. Let me just scroll down because there's a lot of tweets there. Patricia got back on to say to us, and I think you probably know this, Mark, but that not long after being at the academy in Mijas, Patricia's husband took ill, and complications due to his illness left him in a coma. And Patricia is absolutely certain that what she'd learned and understood about her own capability was certainly beneficial for her husband's her husband's recovery. And that's really interesting. That, yeah.
Richard, why do you think she came?
You see, that's so deep, that, you know, and I'm really open to that, but that is incredibly deep.
Well,
that.
You can see it as coincidence. Yeah,
I'm not saying it is, but it's incredibly deep. Yeah,
you can. Most people will see it as coincidence, but these coincidences to me are so profound, and I see so many of them that I realise that there isn't such thing as coincidence. Of course, if I see you with a black pair of shoes and I've got a black pair of shoes, then maybe that's a coincidence, right? But I'm talking about these moments where if it wasn't for going to an academy, learning how to heal, then being with her husband and giving that healing, I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, logic has to play some sort of role, that the chances of that happening at that particular moment, there is something happening on a different level, on a more profound level, but it's hard for us to comprehend.
Of course it is. It could be a quantum level. It might be a quantum level, because time, as we are beginning to learn, isn't linear. Exactly. So it could be on some quantum level. It's brilliant. By the way, Shauna says, keep riding the scooter, Mark Bajarski, on the scooter there. Shauna McEvely says, keep riding the scooter there. That obviously means something to you. Mark is our guest, and we've got about, it's flown by, we said it would, about 14 minutes to the top of the hour. The most profound question, the one that keeps us up at night, is what in the name of all that's good are we doing here? What are we doing here? It plagues me, this question. What? I used to think, right, just very briefly, I used to think, I'm here to leave some sort of a memory or a legacy, and that's got nothing to do with being well known. That's more to do with that you leave and you left something positive behind. These days I have no idea where I came from, where I'm going. What are we doing here, Mark?
Well, that is one of the most profound questions in the world, and it's something that I've pondered over through working these 15 years with what I believe is other than human beings, but listening to my higher self, listening to the connection to the universe, listening to the magic that's around us. I started putting the pieces together through my clients and through the work that I was doing, and the messages that were coming through wherever it comes from. I'm not into the belief system of God, angels. I just believe that there is a higher force at play. And this is how I see it now. I believe that this world that we live on is an energetic world that we come into through a body. So the body is basically a suit. It's flesh and bones. And that we have to look after. But inside that body, to keep that body alive and working, there has to be something that makes that body function, or else we just go. So what is that? That's called a life force. Now, that life force is what I'm particularly interested in, and why that life force is here. So the body sees, hears, and most importantly, the heart feels. And it is the most important bit, is the heart. So we are here now on this planet. Why and where did we come from? We must have come from somewhere. We can't have just come from nothing. So I believe, after my research and working with clients who quite clearly have been here many times before, from the things that I've heard and seen, which mind-blowing, that says, you know what, you have been here before. So now we know that we've been here before, we must have come from somewhere. So now we know we've come from somewhere. Why have we come here? So through my work and understanding, this is the principle that I believe why we're here. This world is a feeling world of pain, suffering, happiness, joy, and many other emotions. The world we come from, we don't have those feelings because we are at peace and at one with everything. We come to this world to experience all of those feelings, both good, bad, sad, tragic, life-changing, all of the most awful feelings in the world. And those are there to test us, to help us see what those feelings are and how we can overcome them and feel them. So we have to feel those feelings to be able to learn how to overcome them. Once we have understood those feelings and conquered them in a way that we as a spirit say, I am satisfied that I have felt everything that I need with that feeling, and I feel that I did as much as I could do with that feeling. I think I'm an expert with that feeling. Then you don't need to experience that feeling or emotion or challenge ever again. We are here to see who we are, to be who we are. So our reaction to any given situation tells us who we are, but it is a joint to the feeling of that emotion or that pain or that suffering. So not only do you get to feel it, but you get to understand it and figure out through your own choice how you are going to react. Now, to me, the bigger picture isn't that, oh, I reacted and I did it well and I'm okay and I think that's perfect, because that doesn't actually give you all the feelings and the understanding of that. So you sometimes have to react badly. Sometimes you have to react sad. Sometimes you react and become stronger than it to be able to experience it. Then part of the journey is to share those experiences to help others, but not interfere with them. To give them the courage to say, I've been through that, mate. You'll get by. It'll be fine. This is one of the ways that I fixed it. This is how it helped me. And that's to help them along a journey. So then we keep creating this new energy of understanding and awakening till one day I hope and I dream of a world without politics, without religion, without all the things that suppress us, so that we can come back to who we were meant to be and why we were here. And that is to live in love, kindness, equality, and to be a shining light for one another for whatever feelings and pains and sufferings that we go through. Will it ever end, the pain and suffering? No, because there is always light and there is always dark. You cannot experience life without both. You can only experience one or the other if that's all you want, the light. I am not saying that, guys. What I'm trying to say is that life is about experiencing and how you handled it at the end of your moment when you leave this world. And I believe that only then is when you will truly know and ask yourself, did I experience all that I did? And did I really understand it? If you did, then you move back home and then you don't need to come back for that particular life that you chose. And that is my belief system. You said you leave a legacy behind. I think every single person in this world, no matter how challenged they are, leaves a legacy behind of love, compassion in some way, but they also leave a legacy behind of suffering and pain as well. So I believe there is no wrong or right. It is all as it should be. So where you are right now is where you're meant to be, but never forget where you're going is exactly where you'll be taken. All is as it should be. No matter what you've done in your life is as it should be. You are not doing anything wrong, guys. You are not to blame. You are not in a bad place. You are not evil. You are not any of the things that try to make you feel abandoned or places you in a box, or you are ill because of this illness. All of those things are just irrelevant. When you step out of the bubble of the system, you then take your power back. And that's why we're here, to find and to be our power and light in this world.
Loads of comments have been coming in when you've been on, since you've been on, of course, and they're still coming in. It's lovely. Cry Freedom Radio, by the way, specialises in this type of discussion, in the spiritual and in the metaphysical, and it's lovely. I have tweeted out a link there to her show.
Thank you. Lisa's a lovely
Lisa,
lady.
That's right. I couldn't think. I'd come across the... It's Lisa, that's so. Right, yeah. I was a bit embarrassed there. I've heard of Lisa before. Beautiful. Yeah, I should have sent you a quick message. So thanks, Lisa, for listening in and for that. Yeah. Denny, by the way, says, Mark's wise words are true gems in this world. A beautiful soul, says Denny there. And there's a nice comment from David who said, learn to love, forgive, and without hate, greed, or envy there. So you're busy. Martin tweeted us, by the way. Martin Lees, I think. And Martin's partner will be visiting you really soon at the Pure Energy Healing Academy in Mijas. And his partner's very excited about that. So you're up to your eyes then. You've got the book about Moldavite to read, which I'm fascinated by. Oh, yeah, what an amazing... Listening to that earlier on in the discussion. And if you've just come in on the end of this conversation, grab the podcast later on. Mark talks about this intriguing, mysterious... You weren't very complimentary to its appearance, by the way, Mr. Bajerski. You
said it's not that's only because...
Because it's true, right?
Do you know what? I actually love the look of Moldavite, but to anybody else, it looks like a gherkin.
Right. It does, doesn't it? I've been looking at pictures of it online. Yeah. But the things that happened with it when you used it and the effect it had on people and speaking the language, and amazing. I mean, I'm loving that. And you're going to write a book about that. This is not one of those stupid questions that people ask guests. It's going to sound like a cliched question, but it's true. How do you make the time? How do you do that? Because, you know, we talked about stress and about balance and finding time for yourself. It sounds like you spend a lot of time.
It's really easy.
How do you do
it's
that?
It's really easy. There's two things you do with time, and time's just an illusion. That's the first thing. But there's two things that we do. We either make a mistake with time or we don't. And I don't make the mistake with time. And it's really simple. Time either imprisons you or you control time. That's it.
Simple as that, eh?
Yeah, it is.
It's brilliant. I wanted to ask you as well about Nico and China, of course. I met Nico, didn't I, briefly in Manchester. And China is an athlete, of course. We know this. She's into martial arts and all that. How are they getting on?
China is, she's... You know what, Richie? I've got to say this. My two children, I believe... wholeheartedly that I allowed my children to be who they wanted to be. I never influenced or never worried about them. I only believed and trusted in their journey, and they have become the most amazing. I'm so proud of China Bajerski, who's nearly 21, who's a Muay Thai teacher and a champion of that. My son has his own gym in Halifax. And he is doing so well and helping people with mental health issues. He's on YouTube doing great work. So I'm the proudest father in the world. I really am, Richard. And you know why? Because I never interfered with their life. All I ever said to them is, if you need me, I'm always here. But you know what, guys? You are the most amazing, powerful teachers, because they are, in the world, and they believed in themselves. And I think a lot of parents go a little bit wrong, Richie, where they believe because their mothers and fathers taught them that they have to teach their children and tell them what they to do, and they have to do this because I was taught that. Whereas actually I realized that that's not the way forward. You can only allow your children to be who they are if you don't interfere in their life, but you are there as a support if they ever need help.
Not easy, is it, Mark? Because, I mean, did you find it easy to do that? Because a lot of parents, they spend an awful lot of time worrying about what their children will be, and they want them to have a good job, and they want them to meet somebody and have a family. And we've all these ambitions, right?
You see the conditioning that you're saying?
I do, I do, yeah. But it's natural, though, isn't it? It's natural to feel like that. I want them to do this, and I want them to have that, but I can see how it could be negative.
Okay, well, I didn't want them to be anything but happy.
Yeah. Full stop.
I know millionaires who are the saddest people in the world.
Yeah, me too.
People in the world. So I knew that money wasn't going to make them happy. I know loads of people who are married and they're sad as anything. So they need to find their happiness through their own belief, understanding of life, what they want, not what I want for them. And if I'm worrying about them, all they're ever going to do is think that there's something wrong with them because my dad's worrying about me, so there must be something wrong with me. Whereas I turned that around and said, you know what, I don't worry about you at all. You're more stronger, powerful and wiser than me. I come to you for help. Then you give them the power back. But if you're worrying about your children, all you're ever doing is stealing their power. You know what I mean?
I do. I get it. Again, it's something I wouldn't have considered, but I get it. If your motivation is only that they be happy, you can't really go wrong with that, can you? And forget about everything else.
Everything is energy, and I'm sending energy that my children are going to be the best in the world at whatever they do, and whatever that is they're going to do, they're going to be happy. Then that's the energy that they're always going to get from their dad. They're going to feel comfortable and happy and say, you know what, dad says I can do it and I can. But if dad says, are you all right, what are you doing, where are you going, are you going to be all right, is that going to be okay, are you sure you're going to be okay, then all they're going to get is fear.
Negative.
I will not bow down to fear, Richard, ever.
Here's a question for you. In the last couple of minutes we've got, you spoke very eloquently and passionately about nature, and I love that, and connecting with it, you know, spending time in the woods, in the fields, barefooted, sitting down, absorbing. I love that as an idea. Do we also need to spend a bit more time with our senior companions on this journey? I'm talking about older folks who've lived, who've loved, who've learned, who failed and who triumphed, but we tend to be kind of moving away or distancing ourselves from older people. I've got a bit of a bone to pick with that one. It drives me mad. Am I on the right track? We need to spend more time with our more experienced friends.
The problem is, Richard, that technology has taken over the younger generation, and all they see is the technology, and we are just idiots, and we don't know how to use a computer, and we don't know how to use a space bar and things like that. So we don't play a significant part in their life as we get older, because it's a different generation. Whereas actual fact, if you take away the technology and you just say that, I don't know, we've got it will never happen, but if there was ever a big war, now you have to really know what you're doing. You know how to survive, you know how to, the real meaning of life and how to live and take care of yourself and survive, you know, then they would run to us. But you know, it's a challenge, mate, it really is. I mean, for me, I love being with children as much as I love being with adults, because we all have wisdom within us to share with each other. I think the bottom line is, Richie, I think we just need to be nice to everybody and treat them all as equal, whether they're 6 years old or 100 years old. They are they are brothers and sisters, and we all play a part. We are all teachers and we're all pupils. And I try my best to be more open and give more time to people. But then again, if you're with somebody who's very angry and screaming and shouting, I wouldn't suggest you go around, you know, and spend time with somebody like that, because that'll make you feel bad. But if there is, you know, I don't even like to call them old. I'd call them wise. They're the wise. They're experienced. You know what? You can learn so much from the experienced. And that's what we're missing now. We tend to be looking at Cardassians or the next handbag, or you know, just what the They Live film is. Just we're becoming like that with the kids, which is kind of a little bit sad and scary, right? Have you heard of They Live?
Oh, I have. The Carpenter film with Roddy Piper. Yeah, it was actually David Icke introduced me to that many years ago. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a very profound film.
Every day, it's like, you know, there's an episode where there's part of it where I see life like that now, where, you know, when you become aware and open to all of the things that surround us, it's like when he put the glasses on and saw what was really going on, and he tried to give his mate the glasses, but his mate was like, they had a big fight because he said, I'm not wearing them.
Yeah.
And it feels like that every day for a lot of the people that I know. They don't want to put the glasses on because they're happy in their own little world and they don't want to know what's going on. However, people are putting the glasses on, mate. I can definitely tell you that.
There's no doubt about it. Folks, go to markbyerski.com and there you'll find out about the Pure Energy Healing Academy in Meath. Check it out. Mark's books are there as well. His YouTube channel is packed with dozens and dozens, if not hundreds now, of wonderful thoughts for the day, information, tips and advice to help you to overcome pain and anger and misery and to embrace a better way of doing things. It's markbyerski.com. And until Friday, if you do make a donation to this programme, you'll be in a draw for that beautiful Moldavite pendant, solid gold that Mark has generously put up. Not the first time he's done something like that. He's done it many times for this programme and it's worth about €1,100. It's a wonderful thing. I'll let Mark know over the weekend. It'll all be done fairly. I'll take every single email address out and I will get Caroline, or I'll do it myself. I'll make a draw. I'll let Mark know who it is and they will receive that. markbyerski.com. Check him out. You're a breath of fresh air, mate. I really mean that. Don't leave it so long to come back. I really do mean that. Come back sooner rather than later. Love having you on and it's great to know you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. I just want to say that there's a lot of people who have sent me money as well because they couldn't get on to donate. There was a little bit of a problem. So I've got a heap of money coming your way to keep this show going, because this show is not only an independent show, but it's one of my favorite shows that I listen to, because you speak the truth and you share and you're not frightened of saying you're wrong. There's no ego there and you're passionate and you get people on that would not particularly be able to speak like me, because I'm kind of spiritual and all the other people that are suppressed. So we all have to work very hard towards helping people like you, Richard, stay on air and keep thriving to become the biggest kind of platform and to take over the likes of Facebook. So then we become the power than the Facebook, which is suppressing us. So that's what we need to do. My belief, my message to everybody is we can change this world tomorrow if we all come together and decide to take away the Alphabet companies and Facebook, all of these companies, and start our own and then create our own, which wouldn't be suppressed. And that's what I hope one day. That's why I always, always donate to you, Richard, with love.
It's amazing that you said that, mate, and it humbles me. Thanks so much for doing that and for saying that. It means the world to me. markbyerski.com. Thanks, Mark. Come back real soon. Brilliant to have Mark on the programme. We're going to close out today's show with this from Eric Clapton. This has changed the world on your Richie Allen Show. I'll talk to you tomorrow.